Inki always wanted to see the humans of Earth free from slavery, and it is now finally happening. The Anunnaki are interdimensional beings. They use a technology so advanced that it merged with the domain of the soul. Their magic is based on universal laws, as magic always is, using frequencies, quantum physics, and interdimensional manipulation of space-time. In reason of their advanced evolution, Anunnaki magic is the most powerful ever known to Earth. The giants are Igranoid sauroids from Sigma Draconis, a Rachika subspecies, considered as the sorcerer or priest class among the reptiloid species. They are those reported as the hooded reptilians and are very active in dark magic. They measure 5 ft tall and have an elongated face, a tail and yellowish to green lizard skin. When on Earth, they wear dark hooded robes to camouflage their saurian features. They are extremely dangerous and hateful towards humans and lesser-ranking reptiloids. Those who live on our planet combine their science in magic with the Crowley magic, dark witchcraft and some forms of mind control. They are very dangerous as they feed off the emotional essence of their prey, and are skilled as well in dimension hopping. They know how to trap and enslave humans by their vices, weaknesses and fears, blocking their spiritual growth and dragging them back down into lower planes of existence, even using humans as parasite hosts. These creatures feed off the gloom of the human collective. Dark magic rituals involving contacts with the realms of the dead and summoning demons are very useful practices to the reptilians for tearing holes in the fabric of space-time, between our dimensional plane and theirs. The best way to fight them back is to defeat the enemy within our own fears. Any method of resistance involving shining your own light and healing your wounds helps tremendously to prevent these parasitic attacks. The giants are deeply involved in the agenda of the dark controllers of this world. The Grey Zornebu do not use magic because they don't need to, although they can be invited in to assist. The Grey Zornebu rather prefer to use their highly developed psychic abilities, interdimensional skills and advanced technology. A good comparison between the both could be found in the soft disclosure series Star Trek: The Klingons are the reptilians and the Borgs are the Greys. This will speak for itself. Una's message unveiled. Let us now read again the part of Una's encrypted message referring to the dark magic performed by the Dark Earth elites and their nefarious ET allies. She actually reveals a lot about these rituals. They will give us the keys to unlock their rituals. The keys are the script of the rituals with the outspoken words, the name of the entities and of the ET beings involved. To unlock a ritual means to undo or uncast the ritual, using the same formulas used to summon the same beings and command them to withdraw their influence. We can do this when we have the right formulas, or the keys, that were used to bind these beings to the will of the performers of the ceremony. Sometimes, to get a being to do a job, a price needs to be paid in exchange. Uncast the dark circles. Magic rituals always start by casting a circle on the ground to set up a sacred space for the ceremony. It is within this circle that entities can be safely summoned, as safe as doing this can be. It acts as a portal and sometimes, even, a temporary stargate. 9 levels of darkness will be collapsed as one in dispersed into dust. It is over. The 9 levels of darkness are referring to the 9 realms or the 9 dimensions in which the spell will be anchored. As we know, the number 9 is widely used in esotericism. The axis is the portal, the pillar in the center of the circle, the shamanic tree or axis mundi, or even the DNA, tree of life, used as sacrificial blood. This portal/tree needs to be collapsed into dust. The dust will be scattered to the 4 winds of human consciousness liberated. Each consciousness or spirit is composed with the 4 fundamental forces or elements. To dismantle the spirit of someone or something requires to scatter these elements apart. The spirit ceases to exist, forever and always. In Occidental magic, it is considered that 4 elements plus 1 compose all life, as well as the conscious mind, earth, air, fire and water. These 4 elements are also named the 4 winds when used in magic rituals and especially in witchcraft. They compose the essence of all living beings but also the human consciousness. Earth corresponds to the direction of the north, air is the rising sun, fire is the south and water is the west. All four elements merge into the center to form a fifth one, spirit. Just like the light passing through a prism spreads into different colors, spirit is composed with the merging of the four different elements. Carl Gustav Jung, the renowned 20th century psychologist, found out that each of the four elements represent an archetype of human psyche. Air represents the intellect and the thinking, fire the intuition and the passions, water represents the emotions and the feelings, and earth stands for the material and sensory aspects. What is a prison planet? The Nebu Empire's seat of power is located in the Orion Nebula, in the Trapezium Cluster. There dwells the center of their hive consciousness. This super AI links them all together throughout a unified consciousness, same as bees and ants do, receiving orders, living in order, working for order, and only for the collective. Their concept of a prison planet is a world with a lesser advanced civilization, which they enslaved by trickery and then block their technological and consciousness development. They do not take prisoners, they create slaves. At the contrary, the Galactic Federation of Worlds and positive allied organizations use prison planets in an opposite concept, not to imprison but to liberate souls. Through a penitentiary system aiming at transmuting dark into light, a concept and way of doing that our Earth cultures haven't yet grasped, they seek to preserve life at all cost, even if this life is that of an enemy. Remember, the ethics of the Galactic Federation of Worlds works are based on two main principles, and pillars of its foundation, free will and balance. Balance stands for justice, defined by these words. Transforming pain into peace. It stands as well for respect and preservation of all life, regardless of path this life has chosen. Based on the spiritual principle that the source of all things is dual and that the universe is held by a dynamic force generated through the struggle for balance between destruction and creation. Practically and tactically speaking, when it comes to an armed conflict, the Galactic Federation of Worlds will apply these values as such. Firstly, they will give their opponent the choice of surrender or fight. If fight it is, the Galactic Federation of Worlds will still try to take prisoners instead of blindly killing, sparing lives as much as possible, and eventually send them back to their homeworld if they repent. If not, the captives are put in detention until they shift their consciousness out of the cycle of anger and pain. As any living being in the universe allotted with consciousness, all prisoners have free will, in the sense that they remain responsible for their detention. They are released only when they chose to serve peace and evolution. This cognitive process cannot lie. It cannot fool anyone because the frequency of their energy field is measured. When pain leaves the force field of an individual, this person finds peace and radiates a completely different frequency. This inner liberation is irreversible, same as healing cannot be reversed. Once a wound is fully healed and pain has dissolved into the ether, it doesn't come back. Transforming pain into peace is their very notion of justice and liberation. The Galactic Federation of Worlds can only free a prisoner when he was first freed himself from within. This recalls what Commander Valthor once said me. His words take then a deeper meaning and make true sense in this context. We cannot free a slave who holds on to his chains. Liberation comes from within. In the intention to raise the vibrations of all captured beings, in a perfect sense of equality regarding source, helping them reaching a more peaceful state of consciousness. No prisoner held by the Galactic Federation of Worlds is ever tortured or mistreated. They are instead shown compassion, love and forgiveness. An enemy ceases to be an enemy when his heart truly finds peace. In the Galactic Federation of Worlds, incarceration looks more like rehab centers where feelings of hate and anger are eased by spiritual practice. The prisoners, of course, must be willing to participate, no one is forced against their will. They are never constrained to follow this path, it is their own decision. Obliterating an enemy is about transmuting the dark into light within his heart. What matters is the alchemy of transformation, from pain to peace. This is what the greater justice of the universe is truly about. These methods are considered to be the most efficient in accordance to the principle of free will, and they are as well rolled out in other galaxies. Of course, it remains a detention center, especially for the beings considered a threat to the peace in this galaxy. A prison planet is a world populated only by prisoners, and no other life on that planet endures their presence. Everything the prisoners need as a bare necessity is available to them. Everything is remotely controlled from orbit, and the whole is included within a time bubble. Escape is impossible. These places are heavily guarded. No one is killed, so those who decide to stay are in for a very long time. On Siluin, Alpha B Centauri System. Our time, Siluin. December 17, 2021. Siluin, pronounced Siluin, is a moon of Silo, the fourth planet in the Alpha B Centauri system. The Silosa people play a neutral part in the galactic diplomacy, but their involvement and work in the Galactic Federation of Worlds is considerable. Nowadays, the Silosi from Alpha B Centauri have a great presence on Earth. They look exactly like Earth humans and have infiltrated our modern societies since the 1950s, when they began participating in secret projects for technology exchanges with positive factions of prominent Earth governments. The Silosi were part of the 1954 meetings with President Dwight Eisenhower and, in order to counteract the treaty signed later between the MJ-12 and the regressive Nebu Greys, they collaborated with the U.S. Navy in the creation of a Starfleet of Defense known as Solar Warden. Among the Galactic Federation of Worlds, the Silosi are the most able to go unnoticed. While they look perfectly like us, they are nonetheless identifiable by their fair skin, clear eyes, blue, green or gray, and fair hair, blonde to white. Their demeanor is gracious and calm. They are also known for having been the residents of Paradise, California, where advanced technologies were developed for the greater good of our future, and unfortunately, fate struck by the hand of the Cabal. But let us leave behind these dramatic events and travel to Alpha B Centauri, 4.37 light-years from Earth, where Thor Han visited the moon Siluin with an axe, on December 17, 2021. Thor Han on Siluin, waiting for an axe. I often chance a contact with Thor Han via the implant or pure telepathy, surprising him wherever he is. Of course, he must be willing to answer my call on the other end. On this day he did answer, and he showed me the place he was visiting, which I had seen in the past months already through his eyes. It is a very beautiful place. The first thing you notice is light, so bright that it is nearly blinding. And you realize then that it comes from the powerful sunlight's reflection on a blanket of immaculate clouds underneath. Siluin hosts a huge floating facility, like a city above the clouds. I never saw the complete shape of it, only a very long terrace covered by a glass dome. One end is disappearing with the perspective, but I understand that it connects to another complex of floating buildings, with a glass-covered footbridge with metallic banisters on both sides, where people comes and goes. All the metallic structures are white. The bridge enlarges in the shape of a terrace as it reaches to the other end, a complex of very futuristic buildings, very smooth, very shiny. In the interior of these buildings are conference rooms. That is all I know about it. It seems to be an important hub for this galactic sector. What are you doing here? I asked Thor Han. I am accompanying Anax. He is attending a meeting here and he needed an escort. And, of course, you are the escort. I like this place, he replied with a smile. It is so calm. It is a heaven of peace. I thought I would have a short break from the Sol system. What kind of meetings are going on here? I cannot tell you for the moment. It is diplomacy, involving your star system. All good? All good, do not worry. Who are the participants in these meetings? No one from Terra, but the Council of Five and the Xenotian Alliance are involved. Representatives from the Galactic Federation, the Ashtar Forces and the Intergalactic Confederation are also in there. Well, I suppose I can tell you a little about the topic. It's about peace, in all the aspects of its implementation in your star system, how to secure it from some enemies who never give up, and also how to set this new era of peace in time. Anax was heading towards the building and Thorhan said he would need to end his communication with me. Which he did. I wish I could be there, in this floating city in the upper atmosphere of the fourth planet's moon in the Alpha B Centauri system. It was so peaceful, the ambience is as if it is embedded in cotton, smooth, so calm, far away from the horrendous madness on Earth. Martian Affairs on Ganymede. December 30, 2021. Thorhan was on Ganymede today. He made telepathic contact via my implant and gave me a visual as well, another one of these "hey, I am gonna show you something" moments. He was in a big room, which had a large oval window looking over the stormy giant Jupiter, so big and close. It is always mesmerizing to watch, whether I am there in person or either spying through Thorhan's eyes. The lights in the room were dimmed. I thought at first that it was on purpose, in order to adapt to the conditions of vision of certain races present there, most of which I had never seen before, probably from the Intergalactic Confederation group, but Thorhan explained that the reason was to better view the holographic screen projections for the meeting. There was a gathering between people from the Intergalactic Confederation and a Martian reptilian delegation, the Tiriu, which I recognized from the visuals Thorhan showed me several months ago. These seemed to be leaders or officials as they wore a lot of decorations on their chest. Fundamental changes were occurring on Mars since the planet was liberated from the Dark Fleet and ICC occupation. Thorhan was present because he participated to the first trade on Mars early this year on April 6, 2021, and the meeting was about discussing the future of Mars and how things were settling there, between the local Martians and the colonies. Armed and trained in secret by the Galactic Federation of Worlds, the reptilian Tiriu had led the global Martian rebellion, in which the local insectoid species also took part. As each time he's attending a meeting, Thorhan will cut contact just before the meeting begins. I well understand the reason for this. Everything is finely regulated regarding safety and confidentiality matters, and I consider myself incredibly lucky just to get to have these amazing experiences. What hides on Saturn, February 19, 2022? What is on Saturn belongs now to the Alliance. The technology that was there and which we recently seized from the Nebu could have blown up this entire star system and caused great damage in the fabric of space-time. It was their hidden weapon and we seized it. This action occurred when the Nebu were chased from Sol and your system liberated. We kept secret the knowledge about Saturn until now, when was voted recently the dismantlement and obliteration of this technology, for the greater peace of this area in the galaxy. Anax. A very long time ago, around 50.000 BC, the Nebu held several outposts in this star system, before an intervention from the Intergalactic Confederation kicked them out, in 26.000 BC. The Nebu technologies were dismantled, although many devices were left in place, abandoned and obsolete. When the Nebu came back into this star system, in the 1940s, they found and reactivated their ancient technologies. The Saturn device was a cube broadcasting a signal that connected to the Orion Hive. That signal was also relayed to a second one, smaller, located on Luna, Earth's moon. From the lunar device, an array of low frequency was broadcasted onto Earth. When the Nebu were cast out of this star system, in 2021, all their technology was confiscated by the Alliance, and dismantled. Martian Renaissance, February 21, 2022. February 21, 2022, New Colonies on Mars. This morning I had a new contact with Thorhan in which he informed me that he would travel to the Alpha Centaurian systems, staying for a few days to help prepare and escort a big convoy of new Alpha Centauri colonists to our solar system. This mission would take 4 Earth days to be completed. These Alpha Centaurians and their families will settle on Mars and work with the new colonists from Earth in order to help them with their own experience in that matter, and also with new technologies they will provide, mainly in the field of agriculture and high-tech biodomes. There will be mixed colonies where both Earth humans and Alpha Centaurians from different Centaurian systems, Alpha A, Alpha B and Proxima, will live together. Their morphology is quasi-identical to ours and we can live in the same environmental conditions. This cooperation between Earth humans and Alpha Centaurians started at the end of the 1950s, according to Thor Hahn. They are pacifist cultures who helped humanity in developing new technologies non-related to military tech and spacecraft engineering. They are helping us mostly in the medical field and any domain that can improve day-to-day life on Earth. I asked Thor Hahn, why is an escort necessary and what type of work are you going to do in the Centaurian systems? He replied this. Your star system is highly protected and so is theirs, but the space in between is a battlefield. Space is a hostile ground, especially in this sector of the galaxy. I am escorting scientists, ethnologists and technicians from the Galactic Federation to the Alpha Centauri systems. Their mission will consist in educating and briefing the future colonists on everything they need to know about the conditions on Mars. My personal task will be detailing the recent events regarding the liberation of Mars, because I was involved in the first trade and several other missions with the Resistance. In 4 days' time, I will escort the colony ship to the Sol system, to Mars. The group of scientists, ethnologists and technicians will stay on Silo. You went to Siluin, one of Silo's moons, a few weeks ago, to escort officials to a secret meeting. Was it related to this project? Yes, it was, you are right, and the meeting on Ganymede that I showed you, between the Intergalactic Confederation and the heads of the Martian Resistance, was also related to this project. Everything is in place now. I can't help asking this, is Elon Musk involved in all of that? Yes. Very prominently. I cannot disclose freely when it comes to Elon Musk, I am only an officer bound to respect the strict orders from my hierarchy. There is a lot involved when it comes to him. I understand. Thank you. Thor Hahn saying hi from a Martian biodome. During the following weeks, I had the exciting privilege to see through Thor Hahn's eyes some glimpses of the work on Mars in the new colony. The inside of the Martian biodomes were interesting. I could watch some personnel growing plants on some long shelves going all around the interior of the domes. In the center were many devices. Thor Hahn was commuting to Mars regularly, nearly every day. A Martian day has more or less the same length as on Earth. He was assigned to overlook the supply of material brought by his ships, but I understood quickly that Ardiana had taken this opportunity to grant him a well-deserved break. Away from the battle station. He couldn't bring me on Mars with him because where there are Earthlings there are rules for Earthlings, and my presence would have drawn unwanted attention from Earth military. Thor Hahn is always amused by my obstinacy to go to Mars. He doesn't get it. To me, it is more of a personal challenge. Curiosity, above all. Terraforming and Marsquakes, April 27, 2022. One day, there was a huge storm on Mars and the equipment was tested by the raging atmospheric elements. This happened on April 27, 2022, Thor Hahn reported Marsquakes linked to new terraforming projects on Mars. NASA made later in May an announcement about Marsquakes of an intensity never seen before. On that day of April 27, I could connect with Thor Hahn who was visiting the Ares Prime station. This is a very old station, originally built by the Dark Fleet. Now that Mars had been liberated a year before, Ares Prime Station was given back to the locals and the people who worked and lived there. So I get to see a glimpse of the inside of the station, as Thor Hahn was visiting a maintenance area, an immense hangar with machines. Ares Prime was built by Earthlings with the help of Chico Reptilian, so it is not the best high-tech architecture. Thor Hahn was having a conversation with two Martian engineers, both wearing red and black uniforms. One of the engineers was an Earth human and the other an extraterrestrial with dark gray eyes, pale skin and an elongated skull. They walked down a very steep metallic staircase. I asked Thor Hahn telepathically for the reason for his presence there, because it had nothing to do with his assignment with the Alpha Centaurian colony. He replied that there had been a severe seismic activity due to the recent terraforming operations that have started on Mars. So Ares Prime was slightly damaged but not enough to worry about. He also added that the name of Ares Prime will be changed, and when I asked who will decide, he replied the Martians, it is theirs now. Thorhan then explained that this base is now shared with Martian reptilians and local Earth military. After the liberation of Mars, most of the personnel and residents of Ares Prime wished to stay, and there are a lot of people. Thorhan visiting the old Ares Prime Martian facility after a burst of seismic activity resulting from the terraforming of the planet. He is here in the company of two officer engineers from the station. Interesting to see the different uniforms. Ares Prime, as Thorhan continued, will be seen in the future as a memorial place for the Martian Wars. Although, it will still be in use and very active due to its amazing underground infrastructure. On May 11, 2022, I was baffled by the official news from NASA and several scientific websites. It was announcing that a series of monster quakes had been recorded on Mars in the last weeks and that it was the biggest seismic activity ever recorded on another planet. A new Earth. Transmission from Thorhan, March 28, 2022. The core of Terra is warming up, due to the acceleration of frequency that gradually changes the electromagnetic field of the planet. We are entering now into a more stable high-density zone, and the conflicting shifts that have been occurring during the last few weeks are going to continue intensifying until it clashes and the new timeline breaks free. It is time when those who are meant to wake up and embrace the new upcoming moments of eternity. You are here, on this planet, knowing that this world will continue to grow and prosper, and inflate into a faster density of matter and existence. You are here, you will lead them, tell them that they must not fear, that this is the change they have been waiting for a long time. I promise you, it is going to be beautiful. Magnifique. I am so glad we will soon meet on the same level. Pass on this message to them. What about the core of the Earth warming up? I asked. It will cause some changes, but nothing worth worrying about. You are here, in this moment, and you can witness, down there from the ground, this great change. Terrans are about to break free. Ignore the wars, ignore the screams and the attacks, this is all noise. This is the old world breaking away from you, from us. We succeeded, we made it. And now, well, tell them, they decide what they want to do. For the first time, they have this power. The ships are coming, the Guardians are on the outer orbit of Terra, four ships for the moment. They are watching, in time dilation. Suspended in time like the old Oumuamua. It was one of their ships. It has activated. The ones in the ice belt have activated too. And all the others, one by one, on all the planets. Neptune is next. You will see, you will hear about Neptune soon. But don't forget to tell them. They are lucky and privileged to see this. Ancient technology retrieved from Luna. June 10, 2022. Thorhan was running quite in a hurry to a cargo bay on the Excelsior, the battle mothership of the Galactic Federation of Worlds in this star system. It is always a great enjoyment for me to see him walking through this mothership because I can see the decor and the corridors with big bay windows looking out to space. Sometimes you see a little bit of the curvature of the Earth, it's beautiful. The moon when it's near. He teleported himself twice from teleportation pads inside the station. When he arrived in the cargo bay, there was a lot of agitation. I asked why he was working with the cargo bay, as he is a fleet commander. He replied. Well, because my fleet was in charge of a mission and I need to supervise. His ships had brought back from the moon strange material. A cargo had arrived and there were a lot of people walking around with excitement. What was brought back were big pods, but not as you can imagine, they were like lifeboats or life support devices. The shapes looked organic, similar to butterfly chrysalis but hard and solid. The colors were brownish black with some yellow, and the size was about 13 feet long and about 6 feet high. These pods are in fact a very old technology, Thorhan said to me. What kind of technology? I asked. Where does it come from? My fleet retrieved it from Luna, Terra's moon. Wow, is that linked to with the Urks and the Cedars?